guys, you're listening to Sex and Sanity. My name is Amishika. I'm your host. Sex and Sanity is hosted on the number one podcast network from Africa. It's in Ghana, Gold Coast Support. You should check us out, www.listentogcr.com and social media, Gold Coast Support. We have a lot of podcasts that you would love listening to, like various topics. The one about sex and sexuality and sexual health and reproductive health and sanity is Sex and Sanity. So that's what we're giving you. But you can listen to the others to hear more stuff, okay? There's really nice stuff on there. Guys, I'm on my one and only co-host. Hello, Sister Araba.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm here again. And I'm wearing my mood because I'm feeling very light, fruity, happy, like all the good vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys. Guys, you can watch the first 10 minutes or a few more minutes on YouTube. Type Sex and Sanity in the search bar on YouTube to see what we look like in the studio. We're looking nice, right? You can check it out. And after, listen to the full episode on the podcast player, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, listen to GCR everywhere, okay? All right, guys, we have a guest in the studio. Hello, mister. What should we call you?
Call me Papa.
Papa.
Yes, but I mean, my active name is Papati.
Okay. Yes,
but I like it when the ladies call me Papa.
Do they moan Papa?
Of course.
Hi.
So you prefer Papa to Daddy?
Yeah.
I mean, Papa is Daddy.
Papa is very local. Papa is very Papa. Local.
Yeah,
Papa
true.
Is Daddy.
In
Papa
fact, is Daddy. Try yeah. moaning saying Papa.
Moan. Do it.
Papa, I'm gonna come. All right, guys, we're going to start with our first segment. Okay, we have a few questions for our guest. First one, what's your relationship status? In case some of our listeners are
Hey, what about if me now I'm interested?
Okay, in case Araba wants to
ask.
Okay, so I'll be honest, I'm in an open relationship. So
I see. Define your open relationship.
Open relationship is like...
asking you have a main partner, define
exactly.
yours.
Exactly.
Okay, but you
it's polyamorous.
So okay, so you have a main partner and you see other people on the side.
Exactly.
Can you have like another girlfriend or it's just the other stuff
has to be casual?
No, it depends. So I believe strongly in approaching like every individual with love, because without love, without understanding, you know, it takes time. So I wouldn't just open up to just sex like that, because I'm not really so much about sex. Exactly.
Okay.
So I need that consent. I need to really get to know you and understand what you're about.
I have a question though. Does your partner already have another partner?
Not yet. Yeah.
So you're the only one who sees people? Yeah. Okay. Interesting. What's the name of your penis?
Oh, it's Okesie Kujo.
How long is it? The way the Okesie, how long?
Oh, it's confidential.
It's confidential. Show me, like, from here to show me. Okesie Kujo, okay.
Who named we it? Are giving you a chance to do a free ad. You are in an open relationship.
Yeah.
That means more applications go free come through. So what's up?
12 is not fun.
Have you had 12 that you're saying it's not fun? Anyway, what's your safe word?
Papyrus.
What?
Papyrus.
Papyrus?
Yeah.
So your partners like know it?
Yeah, they know
papyrus.
It.
Papyrus?
Yeah, it's actually... it's a fun style.
And you know to stop.
Yeah.
Papyrus.
So it's something we like all agree to, so that when we are getting like extensive or we are, you know, reaching overboard, we're like, okay, papyrus.
I see.
And like be able to say it during.
I'm sorry, yeah. But I see you moaning those and getting a lot of things mixed up.
Okay. Well, tell us about your ideal sexual experience or the best sex you've ever had.
I think it's when I truly feel for the person and the person truly feels for me. So it's just that moment when you're like...
The best sex you had. Tell us about it.
About it. Into details. Okay, I'm going to say a little.
Just a bit
of it. So she wasn't my partner, but yeah, we really liked each other.
Okay.
So, it was a period of like 1 week where we were doing it almost everywhere.
Wow.
So it was
like a getaway.
Exactly. So all that, you know, calmness, that space for yourself, you get to give the person and the person gets to give you all that attention, mm-hmm. all that time. Like there's nothing else to distract you. And that was the feeling, like that's what actually gets me into that. You
know? Okay, so was it like an Airbnb you go, like was it a big house?
Oh, it's the person's own house. Like oh, okay, she owns okay. it. Yeah, so, okay, but it's so like a vacation kind of home because it's at the beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Exactly.
Okay, what are your sexual pet peeves?
Moaning?
Huh?
When you moan, right?
That's your sexual pet peeve.
Oh, hold up. What is a sexual pet peeve?
Uh-huh. Something that turns you off, you don't like it, gives you the ick. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Let me see. When you try to put your thumb in my ass without like consent. Yeah, like that shit is like,
that's just supposed to ask, okay, can I put my finger in your ass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, definitely we are big on consent over here. So instead of waiting till the time you want to do it to do that, why don't you like have the discussion before the sex, like try to see what are no-go areas for your partner and what are the things he's willing to explore, then do it. Please don't get to the point and just try to do it without their consent.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you would welcome tongue, right?
Oh yeah. Okay. In my ass.
Yeah. Or your ass is a complete no-go area.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, so your thing is no. But would you eat ass? Oh, because you don't want it on you, you wouldn't eat.
Exactly. I haven't. Oh, hold up. I've had ass. I've eaten ass before. But it felt no different, actually.
Eating ass?
Yeah.
How different was it?
It didn't feel different for you. She felt it now.
How different was
it? Oh, you wanted to feel pleasure in your tongue.
I'm sure the way the butthole clenches and releases.
You know, somebody was asking, somebody said I should teach him how to eat ass.
Seriously, I feel like there's a difference.
Wait. For clarity's sake, my bad. So the eating, like, is it boys, what is if we say eater, it's like putting your dick in there. Yeah, so I'm not talking about putting my like eating the ass like my mouth. But
we're
talking
about using your mouth, tossing a salad
in there. Oh no, I haven't tried that before.
But also, I feel like there are ways to do it. Some people like to do the general just licking the surface. Mm-hmm. Other people like to stick their tongue in.
I won't stick my tongue inside. I do the toughies, but like around it.
Yeah, around and it, then, like, blowing a little bit of air.
Yeah, and then like going toward the perineum and back.
Yes,
back,
that's the best one. Back and really like go it. All the way from the booty hole.
They really like
the balls to the tip of the penis
and then
back.
Come back. Ooh. They like it. Like, they really like it.
Yeah.
Some men hold your head.
Men actually like it when you stick your tongue in.
Yes, yes. Hold your head like all your time to go. But I mean, I don't want to eat shit, so I don't. My thing is, I don't want to eat shit. So I'll put
you don't eat shit when you put your mouth there, bitch.
No, like if you wash it. I told you, I'll wash your ass before I eat it. Like, because you could get sick.
Exactly.
Like, sick and sanity, right? The sanity, babe. We don't want you to get sick. Plus, me right now, if I get sick, I'm the one who, I don't like being sick.
Exactly.
So I don't want to like come and eat your ass and tomorrow I have a tummy upset because I ate ass.
Two weeks of antibiotics is not fun.
Exactly. Nobody wants to do that. You didn't get a yeast infection stuff.
That brings up like one thing I want to know. What are some of the like precautions you take ahead before having sex or probably after when it comes to like STIs and, you know,
get
these
tested.
Minor things.
First and foremost, get tested. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let the person show you a recent test that's from at least a month ago.
Exactly.
At least a month ago.
Like right now, like if I'm to see somebody new, I would want to see test results.
Exactly.
If not, we'll just have to use a condom. Because I don't even want to suck your dick. Because in the end, if I go and swallow your seed, I like to swallow, right? In the end, if it's in my mouth and I swallow and you have an infection, And plus, I get paranoid. Yeah, exactly. It will stress me out. So, like, it's better. Like, you feel more comfortable when you've done a test. Even with that, it's not 100% because some of the infections take a while to show up in tests. Mm-hmm. But then doing it before gives you some, like, 50, 60% assurance that, okay, exactly. you don't have anything. Exactly. But in a couple of months, you test again.
Exactly.
You get it. Uh-huh.
And then I think for
infections
after,
are there.
For after, first things for women, go and pee and wash down.
Yeah. Okay.
Men too, I think, just pee and wash down.
Yeah, pee right after. But you know, instances where maybe the condom gets torn, or like you had sex, or you're not sure that you used a condom, or it happened, like maybe you were on drugs or something, and you wake up, what you can do is maybe within, after 3 days, go and get tested. Me personally, if I'm paranoid after something like that, because the last time I had an experience like that, he chose to go, like I went with a condom and I was insisting on us using a condom. He still went ahead and put his dick inside me without a condom. I felt violated. I hated it. And I was paranoid after, because in the end, I started, you know, when you are scared, once you feel a certain type of way, you are scared. Did he give me an infection? Yeah. So like that week, maybe a couple of days after, 3 days after, go and get tested. And then if there's nothing, within after 3 months, you go and do a test again.
Real.
So that, but if you test, please remember, if you test and it's positive, you're not dying. Start treatment.
Exactly.
Okay. That's the first thing you do.
And I think if it's an abusive situation, like a rape situation, then you can go to the hospital and request for PrEP.
Yeah.
Yes.
And call him out. Me, after the way I sent him a voice and like, why did you do, like, why? Men are so, not all men.
Yeah.
A lot of men are so annoying. Like, we've agreed that we are gonna use a condom. Like, you don't even know if I have anything.
Mm-hmm. But that's someone still pass back. That's put, the thing. That's they don't have any fear.
Like, it's so annoying. Like,
it even if you are not worried, like, about honest. Me, I'm not worried about you.
Like, exactly. It pisses me. It makes it so annoying to, like, even seeing new people, because you know a lot, somebody might just violate your consent.
Exactly.
Like, you might have an agreement. It's, even during sex, some take off the condom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's so fucking annoying.
Those ones, anyway. Especially in doggy style, they think, like, you are not seeing, so annoying. They just pull it off and then they continue.
And then the one that they will take videos and then be sending it to their friends and stuff.
Mm. Shame on you. Stop it. You. I'm talking about you. Kwamina, stop.
Hey, Kwamina. Not to mention nobody's name. All right, guys. We're going to move on to the second segment. Guys, what we're going to be talking about is quite heavy. We're letting you know. We're talking about substance use and trauma, healing from trauma, how healing impacts relationships, our love lives, our sex lives. There's a trigger warning. I'm just letting you know, okay? So that you know what you're getting yourself into. Don't stop listening though, okay? So our guest here is a singer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about your EP, R?
Yeah, so R is spelled 1A, 3Rs, 3Gs, and 5H with an exclamation mark. It came out because, like, I chose that name because, I mean, when you listen to it, the only feeling that you get was like, ah, Charlie, what was this guy going through?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are here
that's
to talk about.
That's what I told
about.
Him. I told him that you should give me a name. Who hurts him? I'm ready to go and fight for him.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I could relate to a point, because when you're going through it, escaping through substances, like,
exactly.
I'll be there.
Okay.
In the past, I get depressed a lot. I'm bipolar.
Okay.
So I get depressed a lot. And currently I'm doing better because I got my diagnosis 2 years ago. And I've been in therapy and all. So I'm doing better. But in the past, when I would be having like a depressive episode, sex is a great way to escape for me.
Exactly.
Even currently, as an adult and like a single woman, having regular sex, it helps me.
Exactly.
I don't think sex is an unhealthy, but like, it can be unhealthy though.
Yeah.
But like, if you're doing it right, like you have a partner, you think like your sexual health, you're thinking about that, and like, I mean, you're not being exploited. Like, sex can be great because in that moment, you're focusing on the sensations and then you get lost in it. In the past, when I'd be going through it, I would want to go see somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember there was a time that I went to see, like, men, when men you, when men want you, right, and you also want them, and like they know you're fun, they can be the nicest. They'll let you be at their place. What do you want? They'll provide, like, so in that, like, that period that you be with them, you don't have to think about what you're going through because you're being pampered.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, he's getting to fuck you anyway, so he's happy that you're like, yeah. So I used to, in the past, like, if I would be going through it, I'd want to just go be with somebody. And then in that period, I would feel so nice, have a lot of sex. But the only thing is when you come back, it's waiting for you in your room. Because it's like it's a temporary thing. Yeah, so I feel you on that. So, I mean, so tell us about your EP, right? Okay, tell us about it. Like,
what was the story? Because it's definitely, it stemmed from a story.
Yeah.
It definitely stemmed from somewhere. So tell us about that.
So first and foremost, big ups. Like, I'm sending so much love and congratulations to everyone who's out there battling with any form of addiction. You guys are doing well. And yeah, big shouts to you. Big up yourself wherever you be. So, it's a myriad of things happening all at once.
Okay.
It was not just, it's like relationship with family, with friends, you know, my personal life, education at the time. The setting of this whole thing is in 2019.
Okay.
Because it started between 2017 to 2019. So in 2017, I started, like, I was already doing, you know, weed and stuff. Yeah, calm. But I started getting into other things because I felt like, yo, I have to try it.
What other things?
She want to know.
Don't worry. You don't have to say it.
You don't want to say it, though.
Exactly.
But yeah, if you want to, you can.
So when it started, it was all fun. I mean, it was just to hang out with the boys, chill and, like, you know, feel good. Until it wasn't anymore, because now it has become like a way for me to escape. Because anytime you call home, you're not hearing good news. I became codependent with my partner. So I was like always trying to get that solace from her. And I became selfish because, Charlie, it's like everything became like a responsibility for her. I felt like I was now her responsibility. And when we had to separate, I felt like, Charlie,
you couldn't live without
her. Exactly. So now the only thing I can depend on was the drugs. Now it got to a point where I was doing it too much, and these friends that I was doing it with even realized that, Charlie, right now you fuck up yourself. So there was that distance. Now I started feeling guilt to myself. I was not able to really interact socially. I was not doing the right things that you used to keep me sane anymore, and I was still doing the same drugs, and that was when it became unhealthy for me. Now, coupling sex with drugs, that was like the best thing.
Yeah, high sex.
Exactly. And imagine, like, just because of the way you are now, like, all the people you used to get this sex from are like, Charlie, we are not that guy anymore.
Okay.
You see, so it's like, hey, Charlie, the paranoia starts kicking in. So it's a series of things just happening. And then finally, in 2019, it started in 2018. I used to have these schizophrenic episodes, like panic attacks. Like, when I just can't stand looking at myself in the mirror because I'm like, the whole world has neglected me. But
would you be high in those moments?
That was when I started. Okay, so those moments started when I actually wanted to stop.
Okay.
So I started the celibacy.
Okay.
I started for 2 months and it wasn't really working for me. Then I started drugs, like stopping any of them, like from herbs to whatever. I just decided to stop.
But you weren't drinking too?
I wasn't drinking at the time. Okay. At the time, I wasn't even a heavy drinker. I was not really drinking.
Okay. Yeah.
So the withdrawal symptoms started kicking in. And that was when I knew that, God, I'm addicted. Like, I'm fucked up. So I went home, and when my mom saw me, the way she looked at me, and she was sad. She was actually. So for a while, I was not even going home anymore. So I was just hanging out mostly in school. So it's these things, you know, actually being able to reflect back on these things, see myself, like right now, I'm not that guy anymore, because that was 2019. I've been through therapy. I've successfully been a year celibate. In 2022 to 2023, I was off drugs completely.
Congratulations. Super
proud of you. Thank you very much. And that was where this project started birthing itself, because I realized that, yo, I look at myself and I feel like, with my craft, like, what can I really give people that is different? Because I know I'm doing music. All these things I did, the only thing that I could keep on doing that was like still healthy for me was creating music. And I realized that authenticity is one thing that it makes me like accept myself more, because being able to accept myself more is what actually brought me out of that situation to really just give that love to myself that I was expecting from like everyone else.
People.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I decided that, okay, I am going to go back to my journal, read through it, find out like some of the peculiar things that happened that I have even overlooked, and then make something out of it.
Oh, you are journaling. That's so good.
Yeah.
So one thing about me is, even during the times that I was using substances, I used to keep a log. So like whatever I try new, like at least for the first 1 week, I make sure that whatever I'm feeling exactly. But even I still derailed. Like there was a time I just lost track and I was like gone. So those times I had to access them through just memory. But like I still recall like the first weeks, like the first month, how it felt. That's when I knew that, oh, it was really fun for me, because if I had not gone back to the journal, in my head, it was all bad.
Yeah.
And that was what actually brought that light to me. Because in my head, I was like, Charlie, this thing is bad, it's bad, it's bad. I was actually almost preaching against drugs and like, you know, being like an active sexual person. Then I realized that no, that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually me just losing self-control. Exactly. And it has nothing to do with these things, because drugs are there to heal you in the first place. That's why they made it. But it's how we decided to use it that brought us these impacts. And sex too, like I said, sex is the gateway to like actually knowing yourself, like seeing yourself in the mirror, like but through another person, like experiencing pleasure. Because we are here for pleasure.
It's beneficial in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just those times like that actually helped me to see the positive sides of what I had to go through. And understand that it's not these things, but it's me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because usually, like, when that's why addiction is, like, you don't judge people that are addicts. Because usually it's something. My therapist told me, like, people who do drugs, there's usually something, like, not people who do drugs, they say people who are addicted, who are dependent on drugs. There's usually something that they are not addressing.
Exactly.
There's an issue that they need to address. They need to seek help for that particular, the root cause, to be able to get over their addiction. If you don't deal with the root cause, then you are still gonna keep, because it's a temporary relief. You get something out of it. Like, I remember last year I was in a relationship, right? I was we're living together. Anytime we would fight and like we're really going through it, because it was ending. Anytime we'd fight and then I couldn't deal with it, like then I'll just go out, I'm gonna get weed. Because then I couldn't handle, like, you just cannot, like,
exactly.
You needed the drugs to escape in a way. Because then when you are high, in that moment, you feel better.
Exactly.
You don't have to deal with the emotions, the heartache. Yes, because last year I was drinking a lot. Every single day I was drinking vodka. I was like smoking a lot, like seriously.
But in the end, there's something wrong. Like you, if you don't deal with that, if you don't get out of that situation, you're going to keep going for it because it helps you not deal with the bad things that you have to deal with.
That's the escapism.
Exactly. But the thing is, usually I feel like a lot of us, there are healthy coping mechanisms. Sometimes a lot of us just don't know how to process or deal with our emotions, and then we go for these harmful stuff. Because alcohol, drugs, in the long run, if you do it too much, it can affect you negatively, your health, your kidney, your lungs, like all that. I mean, doing it moderately is more advisable. If you're gonna do it moderately. So if you're doing it like that, like every single time you have to be on drugs, you have to be drunk, then in the end, 10 years from now, maybe your liver, your kidney, and who wants that? You wouldn't want to look back and then hate yourself. That's why, like, I mean, we're having this conversation. We want to talk about healthy coping mechanisms because, I mean, definitely you're going to deal with, like, if your relationships are hard, you're going to lose people. People break up. People get depressed. Like, we all go through it. Life is so hard. Accra too is so hard. Accra is so hard. You might get broke. Like, what are ways that we can cope? Because we're not going to say that you're going to be fine every time. But in times when, like, there's an option to do something unhealthy. What are the healthier options that people can go for? Can we talk about that?
Okay.
So what saved you?
Personally, it was... Yes, writing most of the time.
Journaling is great. But you know, sometimes I realized that I used to journal. There are times that you don't want to write. I realized that talking, I use my voice notes, so you just record yourself saying what's going on in your, just like as voice journaling. That was one option.
Yes, that's actually, like, I always mention his name wherever Jason is. Big ups to you. So it's also finding yourself in the right space with people who listen. There are people who are talking, there are people who are giving suggestions, but there are also people who actually listen to you and then bring up solutions. At the time, what I was going through, Jason was like, he was my mate in school. We used to do business together. We still do. And we used to smoke together. But there were certain things that I was doing. Like, I was always doing it by myself. And then he was one of the first people who actually invited me, like, come over. Let's talk about this.
Oh, that's what a good friend.
Exactly. What you're going through is not cool. You understand? So what are the ways that we can solve this? So if you recall, I was like, I started trying to get on breaks with the drugs and the sex. And that was where it started from. Because we smoked together and we started linking up, you know, we started talking. So anytime I'm trying to smoke, I'll hit him up. So it became like, okay, now I have someone I'm smoking with. So when we decided to start our breaks, it was easy.
Okay.
So he was like, okay, now let's try a 1 week break. We tried it.
And you were able to do it. Yeah.
I recorded how I felt, some of the, you know, when the withdrawal symptoms are real, but that should not hold you back.
What is it like, the withdrawal?
It's crazy because sometimes you can't eat. The intestines, they feel like they're eating you inside. It's like you can't, you just don't feel for anything normal. Like your mind, sometimes I even forget that I have to eat, but I'm hungry. Like it's so obvious that my lips are dry, I have to eat and all that. But I'm trying to just take my mind off the fact that I have to smoke.
Okay.
But that, and I don't know if it's like...
So what helped?
It was crazy.
How long did you get those withdrawal symptoms and what helped?
What helped me was mostly... it was mostly just hanging out with them.
Okay.
Because apart from the fact that we were meeting, we were giving ourselves tasks.
Okay.
So I still am an artist. Like, I paint, I like to organize events.
Okay.
At the time, my communication was very bad. So what we did was, apart from going to class, which he helped me actually be regular in class again and show up.
Oh, that guy.
Exactly. He deserves
a laptop. Yeah.
And Adoboy too, like, okay. Yeah. So it's like I said, it's a community of people who actually saw it and decided, I know, come out and let's do this together. So, yeah, we made sure we were always busy so that you don't get time to go and do these things.
Yeah.
So we'll go to town, we'll walk in the park, we'll talk, we'll play games. Like, he'll try to do interesting stuff that will keep you around and keep your mind off the fact that you have to do these things. And I was lucky. I was lucky. When I had my second... I don't know. It was like a blackout for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I just went off. My uncle came to pick me up. So it became like a concern. So they were keeping me in the house so that I don't like go You're out not too much. To exactly. Them, yeah. So anytime I have to come to school, I'm meeting the boys.
Okay.
And we are doing something. Mm-hmm. And because like I have to block, because there were a certain group of friends that were also, you know, doing these things. And whenever I'm there, I know always there. So I'll
so
do
you
it.
Wanna do it.
So they blocked me off from like all these people. So immediately I leave there, like I'm coming straight to my uncle. Mm-hmm. And like, God, these kids are home. They were so lovely because I felt like I'm the black sheep, like I'm the bad guy. Like, why are you guys being so nice to me?
But they didn't like shun you or
they
anything.
Didn't.
Yeah, so the support is needed.
Oh, breaking it down, what saved you was basically your music and your support system,
exactly. Yeah,
which is your friends. Exactly. That's great. And family, because you said your uncle too and the kids.
Exactly.
Guys,
that's lucky.
What's the name? There are other things like personally taking walks. I take walks every morning because my mental health. So I meditate every morning because I get depressed. So it helps. I get manic, so it calms me down because I usually have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And the journaling, we mentioned that. So, I mean, the physical activity, you can start working out, like find something to do. Like the walking, me personally, the walking, sometimes like even talking to yourself while walking, you have your AirPods in, just see what's going on in your head. And then while you walk, it's very helpful. And then therapy, guys, sometimes you need to see a professional.
Exactly.
Okay, if you're in Ghana, a lot of these government hospitals have affordable therapy, right?
Yeah.
UGMC is there. You can go to University of Ghana Medical Center. It's 80 cedis per session. It's very affordable. I heard Ridge has therapy, affordable therapy. I have gone to UGMC, so I recommend that. So, I mean, any hospital around, you can just go in and inquire about their therapy, clinical psychology, and then talk to somebody. Because sometimes, like, I mean, that's where it starts from. The self-reflection is needed to, like, sit down. What, like, is this habit helping me? Think about the long term. Like, are you okay? Do you still have your self-control? It's okay to have fun and then get drunk sometimes. But if you are relying on it to be sane every day, that's where the problem
issue.
Is, okay? I've been there before. I'm sober now, guys. 21 days sober. I wasn't addicted. I think that's telling me that I wasn't addicted because I'm finding it easy. But what's helping me is my walks, my meditation, because I have a morning routine and I have things I do. And it's been great. And I'm more energized. I'm doing better mentally. Like, I can party hard and everything. And I know that I don't need it. If I go back to it, I wouldn't have to rely on it and then do it every day.
Exactly.
Especially thinking about my health too. Do you get it? I don't want to, like, in 10 years from now, my liver, my kidney, and I don't want that. So, I mean, guys, please seek help. And we all need a support system. If you need to talk to somebody, if there's no one to talk to, DM me, okay? Talk to me. I'm here. We can talk, okay? All right, guys. We're going to move on to the next part. Do you have anything else to say? So we move on to... Is that it? The last segment. I want to give it there and then we end the episode.
Oh, okay. So, the boys and I... We started like a community where we talk about these things called Sound Soul Station.
Is it like, do you guys meet up? Do you have like an Instagram? How do people join?
So we are on Instagram and Twitter. And if you are really interested, we have a WhatsApp group.
Okay.
Where we like talk about random stuff, like.
And so, is it about substance use, mental health, or like what's it about?
So
people would know.
So mostly, it's about a holistic approach to finding healing.
Okay.
Because I realized I was not the only one. There was another guy, Kizzy, who also got out.
Okay.
So like we've been having conversations about it, and we realized that we all had different like reasons and ways to get out of it. So. It's not the same thing. So we approach it in a very like holistic way where we consider everything else. So depending on how you're feeling, there's always a way that we can get to support you with, you know, there are certain organizations. We'll give you heads up that like, okay, see this one, talk to this, find that.
Okay, so how do they join? Like, can you said the Instagram is what?
So, Sound Soul Station. So
Sound Soul Station. Exactly. Okay, I'll have it in the description. And the WhatsApp group, how should they DM you to be added to the WhatsApp group? Is it just boys or it's...
No, we actually have a lot of girls in the group.
Okay,
than boys,
okay,
so.
Okay, all right. That's cool, guys. And listen to his project. His name is Papa Ate, yes. Right? Yeah. And the project is... I'll have it in the description, guys. So, guys, I'm going to leave you with a dare. But today's dare is a self-care dare, okay? Since we're talking healing, I want us to practice gratitude, okay? So every single day before you go to bed, I want you to write 3 things you're grateful for. It could be about your life, anything. If you are in a relationship, to write like 3 things you are grateful for, like... in relation to your sexual relationship or your romantic relationship, your mental health, like anything, just 3 things. Anything that comes to mind, just 3 things. Every single day, write 3 things you are grateful for, okay? Please. And stay sexy for me. Use condoms, yeah? Guys, use condoms. People have infections, okay? If you're not getting some, I hope you get some.
How are you getting some, Margaret? That's by choice.
Mm-hmm. My pussy is depressed,
that is
guys.
By choice.
It's not by choice. Why are you saying it's by choice?
But you don't have options and you're refusing to fuck them. It's like you don't
those
get...
Those options why
exactly
want them.
Exactly, by choice. So, so if you're refusing to get sex, it's because you don't want what's available to you. It's a choice. Because there's always some available to you. Do you understand me? There are people who don't have at all. They don't have options.
They don't get nothing.
That's what nashing is.
Oh, you're not nashing.
Exactly.
But my pussy is depressed.
By choice.
Leave me alone. Guys, are we going to moan or what?
I think we'll let you moan.
Papa, I'm going to come, daddy. I still said daddy. Guys, I like saying daddy. I like calling my nigga daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, enjoy yourself.
Also, don't let strangers and boys put strangers in your stomach. I saw that tweet yesterday. I was so amused. Why are you letting men put strangers in your stomach? Don't let them do. Unless you're a married person and you want babies, or unless you are looking for a child, then you can do.
And guys, get on a contraceptive. Okay, this month I had a pregnancy scare. I was so scared.
Long-term contraceptives are better.
Get on their contraceptives,
and
please.
More reliable than the post pills, please, guys.
Yes.
And it's not safe for you to be taking it every day. It's not Mentos. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Guys, when you're coming, moan my name, okay? The next time you have sex, moan my name. When you're coming, bye.
As a man, if you moan her name, your wife will leave you.
Yes, just say, Ami.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.